It's the boss. I call shots
like a boss. In the gloss. Check my lip
gloss. I only rock clear. On the Sports Map Radio Network. Presented by Progressive Insurance. And by Free All Deep Penetrating Oil. Live from Radio Row in L.A., here's David Gal.
And Carla Dawson. I've got that sunshine
in my pocket. Welcome back. We are broadcasting live from Radio Row. And it was fun last hour. We were looking at the NFL awards that came out. And I have to highlight that the Cowboys did come home with two. My beloved Cowboys, Micah Parsons, of course, defensive player, rookie of the year, And then, well, Dan Quinn won best assistant coach. And really, when you look at those two guys.
That was a great get. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, Micah Parsons and Dan Quinn were really the two guys that turned that defense around.
Yes.
It really went from bottom of the league to a little bit above average defense this year. And Dan Quinn will come back, so hopefully the Cowboys can keep that defensive momentum.
Okay, well, let me ask you, because we need to be a little bit salacious here about your Cowboys.
Yes.
So does Dan Quinn come back eventually, probably not this season, but the next season, as the head coach?
Well, it's
depending on how, if the Cowboys roll another season like this, what do you see for Mike McCarthy's future?
It's clearly a year-to-year league. I mean, every team is looking at its coach at the end of a season, unless his name is Bill Belichick. When there was all the hubbaloo that, well, now we can already expect that Dan Quinn's going to be the head coach next year. Well, it will clearly depend upon how Mike McCarthy does this season, how the Cowboys perform this season. If he does great, of course he'll stick around. If he doesn't, well, Dan Quinn is a guy who can step in. I think one of the great things about where the Cowboys are right now is if Mike McCarthy falters in any way, they've got a guy on staff who's ready. Interestingly,
and he's been a head coach.
He's been a head coach
at a very, very high level.
And then, of course, on the offensive side, a lot of people thought Kellen Moore was ready to be a head coach. So he was, of course.
Do you?
No. I mean, look, okay. It's just crazy to me that there was all that excitement about Kellen Moore as a head coach, and the offense stumbled down the stretch. So, no, I don't think he's ready to be a head coach. But you've got guys, two assistants in Quinn and Moore, whom a lot of people around the league think can and are capable to be a head coach. So that gives them some nice depth there.
And maybe that helps Mike McCarthy's cause in the long run.
Well, ideally, it surely does. It certainly did this year to have Dan Quinn.
Absolutely.
All right, when we come back, we're going to be joined by Bart Oates, a three-time Super Bowl champion. He had two with the Giants, one with the 49ers. Bart Oates up next here on Radio Row. You're listening to the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is The Boss.
In the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network. Presented by Progressive Insurance and by Free All Deep Penetrating Oil. Live from Radio Row in L.A., here's David Gal.
And Carla Dawson.
February is National Pesticide Safety Education Month, reminding you that safe pesticide use is no accident. Always follow the mixing instructions and rate of application on the product label. The label will also list any other precautions you need to follow. Find out more at PetSafetyMonth.com. All right, joining us now here on Radio Row is Bart Oates. He's a three-time Super Bowl winner. He had two titles with the Giants and one with the 49ers. Bart, welcome to the set. Great to have you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Isn't that Super Bowl thing, like, overrated? You know,
well,
when
they... Hey, I don't know. After the first one, they all kind of...
Oh, my God. Oh, what
Bart
a comeback.
Bart is throwing shade, Bob.
What a comeback. I forgot
don't
that
even
I was
try,
feeling...
Bro.
Yeah, I know. I've assumed all offensive linemen were the same.
He was a defensive lineman, so how hard can it be?
But he says he was a sexy defensive lineman, Bob.
But he would think that, yes.
You know, that's it, Bart.
So it's Bob Golic, Bart Oates, O-line, D-line. Did you guys play on the field? Did you match up butt heads?
We did play. Yeah, we played against you in preseason.
Yep.
We used to play right the
nose guard
end of
center.
His years.
There
you
go.
Yep.
Yep. Do you have that tattoo? Property of Bob Golic? Still on?
Oh, Bart, you know he's coming for you, then.
Oh, that's okay.
No, we did.
I don't know how he must have put that on in an instant, because that was about the only time you would see me.
Yeah.
I was going past you like wind.
I was kind of the guy that people tripped over there in the middle. They don't use a two-gap nose tackle anymore. It's just
no, there is no such thing as two-gap.
No, it's a waste of a human.
I want to put you two in a ring and just watch. Just go. This is good.
Little cage wrestling.
This is like 30 years ago.
Make it a very,
no, I'm
make
talking
it a very strong. Oh, I should say, make it a very small ring, please.
Yeah, yeah. We don't have the range that we used to. But, I mean, but it is cool. I mean, the three Super Bowls, you know the experience. You've gone through it. I mean, as and I know jokingly you said after the first one, but it does settle down after the first one probably a little bit. But Joe Burrow is into number one.
Yeah.
How does he keep his attitude?
The kid is cool, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean,
wow.
He's just a cool cucumber.
Joe cool.
This is not going to faze him.
Yeah.
This guy is like, look, admittedly, everyone sees it, and, you know, I don't want to talk bad about the offensive line, but they haven't given them best protection.
Nine sacks in that game against Tennessee. But they should not come out of that game.
Yeah, did that really bother him? I mean, you know, you see, like, Tom Brady, the best quarterback ever. If you hit Tom Brady, you'll disrupt his game. Look, the three losses in the Super Bowl, you look at the reason why is because Tom Brady got hit. The Giants, the two Giants victories, and then the Eagles victory, he hit him, and he got rattled. And so and that's natural.
Mm-hmm.
This kid is, I mean, he's phenomenal.
I mean, we're watching him run with the ball, put his shoulder down instead of sliding. You know, he just doesn't. Either he doesn't know.
He doesn't shy away from the moment.
Right. Either he realizes he's tough right now, or he doesn't realize that it's a long career, and you better start saving yourself now.
Well, but, listen, you're in the playoffs. So playoffs, you don't live to play another week.
Yeah.
You do what you have to do then, regardless of, that's why the playoff games, right, the last 2 weeks, last six games.
Best 2 weeks of the season. They were fantastic.
No. Best two weeks maybe ever in the NFL. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very true.
If you think about it, there's never been that kind of quality.
The overtime games.
Everything about it.
Yeah, that was just incredible.
I mean, the NFL is disappointed, I'm sure, about all of this.
Yeah.
Numbers. It's crazy.
The numbers, they took a beating over the last couple of years, pandemic and –
What they look like the past 2 weeks?
Oh my God, you couldn't.
But even
get
the divisional game, someone told me like the divisional game, like Dallas divisional game had 50 million people almost.
You just got to find it. You know, Peacock and this and that and all over the place. So,
it's so true.
Everybody wants to pay.
There was a couple games I just started watching Yellowstone.
What's that?
It's not football.
Oh, well, okay.
Bart's too young to know Yellowstone, I guess. But you know, Bart, what I love what you mentioned.
Certainly
about
not as old as Bob. That's that's obvious.
You knew that was coming.
That was. This is radio, so it's a good thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. He looks so young; it's amazing. Do you exfoliate?
That's what I actually do. Okay. Yes.
Do you really?
We'll talk about that later, maybe.
I was going to say,
I'll give you a few.
Do
tips.
We have an exfoliation program?
I'll give you a few tips, my friend.
Woo. That conversation, take that to the nail salon after the show.
That's why I keep growing the beard higher and higher to cover it.
Oh, yeah.
But I love what you said about Joe Burrow. I mean, he really is so cool. And despite the 9 sacks, he protected the ball on all 9 of those sacks, which I think it's kind of like he realizes, okay, my weakness is my line right now. I told them, don't draft a lineman. I want you to get me Ja'Marr Chase. They did what I asked, basically. He really did ask for that. He lobbied hard. And he said, I will make this work for you. And I've just got to say, wow, if you know what's coming to you and you can protect the football at that that many times in a game, wow.
They would have drafted you, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You mean the free agent.
The
guy that was never drafted.
He'd be the lineman, yeah.
So, you know, my theory is, right, you need a good tackle. But other guys, your guys, the interior guys, you don't need a first rounder. You can get guys in the third, fourth round.
Really?
You don't. Absolutely. Okay. You just need guys that offensive linemen. We're not the most athletic.
Except for you, Bart.
Certainly not an exception.
No, he wasn't.
we're definitely not as talkative as the defensive linemen. But you can find linemen and get them to work together because it's really the cohesiveness of that group and not so much the athleticism
that determines the athleticism success and protection.
Is because you can't the great athlete. I mean, the great athletes are really usually don't really aren't very good linemen because they have a hard time working in unison. The offensive line is about it's math, it's angles, it's finding the best angles to work with and. Who am I going to work with? The guy's next to me. And so it's not about the sheer physicality. It's that teamwork that really makes a good offensive line.
You've seen
and you don't need first-rounders for that.
Well, you know, and also when you talk about, we go back to the old Broncos with Keith Bishop and Sclareth and all these guys, and they didn't talk to the media. I mean, that was they find each other if they talk to the media, and they just were this cohesive group that said we're
head down and doing their thing.
Hey, now look what Cheryl Raff.
Yeah, he won't shut up. My gosh.
We're talking to Bart Oates, a three-time Super Bowl champion. Bart, what brings you to Radio Row?
Well, I am president of the NFL Alumni Association, and we have some great projects. We have an anti-obesity campaign we call HULTO, Let's Hullup, Let's Talk Obesity. And it's really just a positive messaging about it's not the looks, obviously, if you look to my right.
Please don't say to your left or I might be in therapy.
What if I just have a couple of a trouble part, you know, spots? Like,
we'll work with you.
Okay,
we'll work with
you. Appreciate
so,
that.
So it's that a message about positive, about hey, here's what you really look at, right? Look at your numbers. Follow your body fat. There's other, you know, AC1. There's these numbers that are more important than just what that number is on the scale. That is part of it. For instance, like BMI. BMI for football players is beyond a useless number.
Well, it's got
beyond useless. Right. I mean, Bob and I, we were playing. We were both not just obese on the BMI schedule. We were morbidly obese.
Yeah.
And yet we were in the best shape of our lives.
Yeah.
I mean, so certain things you just really need to, right? You have to really look at
kind
it.
Kind of debunk the old myths.
And so obesity, right? We have a campaign with we're partners with the CDC to promote vaccinations to encourage people that have hesitation to talk to your healthcare provider. Make an informed decision
instead of fake news.
Did you guys have to deal with alumni with regard to vaccines? I mean, to the vaccination. Not to get off on a tangent, but you mentioned the vaccinations. I just wondered if we had guys calling in and trying to figure out what to do, what not to do.
Well, I've had people call me and say, what are you doing? No one should be getting vaccinated. So am I going to please 100% of our members? Of our, you know, of our thousands? And I don't, but we're going to do what the right thing is.
Election year.
Science has proved, you know, I mean, take the politics out, but science has proved that vaccinations, statistics have proved vaccinations have efficacy.
Yeah.
And so to just close your eyes and say it's a conspiracy, talk to a healthcare provider. Don't, you know, all these blogs, you're going to have people on the extremes on both sides. Guess what?
No,
the
Joe Rogan
is somewhere in the middle.
Oh,
well, in that case.
Yeah. He's not my health care provider.
So anyway, those are some of the things that we're doing. Yeah. We're trying to, as former players, be a spokesperson and making him, you know, our missions are caring for our own, caring for kids in our community.
I don't think there's ever been as many programs for retired players as I've been going through. And either that or I just haven't been paying attention, which is probably the case. But there are so many programs for alumni now, and even the Hall of Fame is doing some things over there in their expansion.
We're working closely with them. We actually have a company we created called NFL Alumni Athletica, or Academy, rather.
Academy, okay.
So we have kids that get cut in camp. So typically these kids that get cut in camp are some of the best, the guys that are kind of in waiting, if you will.
Right.
But they go home and try to work out and stay in shape, and we have this academy that we bring them to Canton, and we train them with NFL coaches, room and board, no cost to
like
the player.
Like an IMG-type thing in Florida, sort of, for the high school kids?
Well, a little bit different, but, yeah, kind of that. But the room and board, those kids pay nothing up front, and if they get picked up, then there's a commitment there. And we're partnered with the Hall of Fame with that. And so just, you know, trying to, again, looking at these gaps – and that doesn't where it helps players is we've hired players.
Right.
We have a great diversity program bringing guys in, help develop some guys that might want to get into coaching. Mm. And so
outstanding.
That is thank very you.
Outstanding. Well, we got to go to break, but Bart, thank you so much for
you're
coming.
You're welcome.
Bart Oates, he's a
three-time Super Bowl champ, five-time Pro Bowler, and look at him now, president
and
of the NFL.
And most importantly, friend of Bob Golic.
Yes.
Even after this?
Oh, especially.
Okay, good.
Listen, the only people Bob will insult are people that he loves.
That's true.
So I want a hug.
Group hug. There you go.
All righty. Thank you so much, Bart, for being with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Sports Map Radio Network.
Hey. This is The Boss.
In the Gloss.
On the SportsMap Radio Network. Presented by Progressive Insurance and by Freeall Deep Penetrating Oil. Live from Radio Row in L.A., here's David Gal.
And Carla Dawson.
Yeah, Bob, it's really fun to listen to all this.
Welcome back. We are fired up at Radio Row. We just had Bart Oates on with us. And, of course, Bart Oates, a three-time Super Bowl champion and a class act, doing great work as part of the NFL alumni group. Let me ask you, the topic I wanted to get to before Wade Phillips joins us is Kyler Murray. Because seems to be something amiss in Arizona. Clearly, they were disappointed by the results down the stretch. But this is a team that has improved each year over the last 3 years. We got Wade Phillips on the line. Fantastic. We're going to shift gears because
we'll
it's a real treat. We'll come back to Kyler. But Wade Phillips, of course, a football icon, one of the great defensive coordinators, a former head coach as well, Super Bowl champion. Wade, thank you so much for joining us. You're on with David and Carla and Bob Golic.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good, Wade. Thank you.
Well, Wade, yeah. You have been in this spot preparing a team for the Super Bowl. What's the focus from a coach's perspective this week?
Well, you have to gear it with the 2 weeks to get ready. You know, you have to gear it mentally and physically, get your team ready to be at their peak when you play the game.
Yeah, because it is without a doubt. But, I mean, we're talking about the end of the season. When most of us played, we realized that it's the team's not only confident, but the ones that are able to stay healthy down the final run, you know, that really helps them out through the playoffs. And I'm guessing it probably continues into the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. I think injuries are always, you know, during the year, coaches, you know, they say, well, people are hurt, and that's true, and then they don't do as well as expected. So it continues into the playoffs, the same thing. Whoever's the healthiest has an advantage.
And speaking of advantage, Wade, what do you think with the Rams? Is it an advantage to be in your home stadium, sleeping in your own bed, doing all that? Or is that a disadvantage because of distractions? What's your experience with all the teams that you've coached? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's an advantage, a real advantage for the Rams and for the Bucks last year. I mean, the Rams don't go to the team hotel till Saturday, just like they do every home game, you know. Whereas, you know, the visiting team, or if you're playing in a different city, you're there a whole week, you know, with all the distractions and having to go to different places and practice and all those things. So I think it's an advantage it's an unusual advantage because only two teams have ever had that advantage, and it's been two
and
years.
You're doing it back to back, which is so crazy.
Yeah. We're talking to Wade Phillips and looking at the players you've coached. People have won Defensive Player of the Year awards. Guys like Reggie White and Bruce Smith. You had J.J. Watt and Aaron Donald, the different eras of your coaching. This Rams defensive front, how strong is it? How does it compare to some of the teams that you've coached in your past?
Well, it wasn't quite as good as Reggie White, Clyde Simmons, Jerome Brown, and Mike Gullick.
I was just going to do that. I was just going to say. Go. That was the Mike Gullick days, and they get Reggie always go, okay, spell us. Come on in. Oh, those were great days. What a great lineup, though, for defensive linemen. Jerome Brown and Reggie, oh, my God. It must have been, as a coach, you had to enjoy having that kind of talent to deal with.
Yeah, I've been lucky to be with a lot of great players and great groups of players. So, but that was certainly one of the best, if not the best. So, you know, the Rams, you know, I've had Von Miller and Aaron Donald. So, you know, those guys are great players. And I think if the Rams get ahead, the Bengals are really in trouble. If they keep it close, you know, I think it could go either way. But, you know, if they start getting a situation where they have to throw, the Rams have a big advantage, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, and it is, I mean, you've had such a long coaching. I mean, it's just.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, it's just amazing.
You coach half of the NFL.
But you know what? But it goes back to your dad, too. I mean, that yeah. whole thing. I was in the era of the, what was it, kick the door in?
Yeah.
Kicking the door.
The Love You Blue era.
Love You Blue. Did he copyright that and not let you use it?
Did he what?
Did he copyright, kicking the door or kicking
the
door?
I wish he would have. Yeah. I wish he would have, yeah. Yeah, that would have been passed in.
We need an NFT for that one.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
Wade,
that's
you obviously, you're not just Son of Bum. You've made your name for yourself, and especially in Houston and with the Oilers and with the Texans. Looking at the state of the NFL in Houston, Texas right now, we are a little bit of the laughing stock of the NFL. What do you make of what's going on in Houston with the Texans? And can this thing get turned around? How's this ship going to be righted?
Well, I've been there when it was turned around. So, we won the division and a playoff game for the first time in the history of the Texans. My first year there, and then the second year we did it again. So, and they hadn't had any winning seasons. So it can be turned around, certainly. But the thing that worries me is, they were 31st in offense and 29th in defense. That's the scary thing. When I went there, they were 30th in defense, but I think they were like sixth in offense. And we went to second in defense the first year and were successful. But we had a lot of help with J.J. Watt and a lot of guys we traded for and moved and so forth. So they got to get better players, number one, and then it's an uphill 100%. Fight for sure. But it can change quickly in this league. You know, look at Cincinnati. I mean, Cincinnati, wasn't even thought about it as a playoff team 2 years ago, and now they're in the Super Bowl. So it can happen, and I'm hoping, since I live in Houston and a Houston Texan fan, that it happens in Houston.
You know, you talk about bringing players in. How different is the feel on a team? I mean, now with all free agency and guys moving and the big money, is it more? I don't know. I don't want to say call. I guess mercenary almost would be the word than it was back in the old days when guys and teams stayed together much longer.
Right.
Yeah, sometimes they don't have as much allegiance to the team, they're there for, one season or maybe two seasons to make their money and go somewhere else. So that's a little different. But, football players are football players. They want to win. They want to do well. If you have them for a year, you got to get the most out of them. If you have them for long term, that's what you'd like to have. So that's why you draft well.
We're talking to Wade Phillips. Wade, of course, you coached the head coach, defensive coordinator. You've been all across the league. Now, this Super Bowl, we've got two young coaches. When you look across at the coaches in the league today, are there any young coaches that stand out to you who really impress you?
Yeah, I think he's the passing game coordinator for the Rams, Wes Phillips. Yeah, he's been real impressive.
I love it.
You heard it here first.
I think he's the future, and he's a young guy, so I think he's got a bright future. He's the one I know real well. So
I love it.
And he's going to be hashtag Son of Wade on his social media, I'm pretty sure. So there we go.
Well, we don't know about that, but no, he's done a great job everywhere he's been. So I'm hoping he moves up again this year. I think he will.
Well, Coach, we really appreciate you joining us. Great to get your insights before the big game. Thanks so much.
You bet. All right. Thank you.
All right. Take care, Wade.
All right. Thanks,
bye-bye.
Wade.
We'll be right back. We're on Radio Row. This is the Sports Map Radio Network.
listening to The Boss
and The Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network, presented by Progressive Insurance and by Free All Deep Penetrating Oil. Live from Radio Row in L.A., here's David Gal
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. We're at Radio Row, Sports Map Radio Network, and if we went to break, we wanted to get to Kyler Murray because it's very curious. He's removed all connections on social media with his Cardinals team. And this is a Cardinals team that has improved during the years that he's been there. I was noting, look, when Kyler Murray came in, he won Offensive Rookie of the Year, had a great rookie season. They won 5 games that year. The next year, they won 8 games. Last season, they won 11 games.
After starting 7-0, they faltered down the stretch.
There's the rub. They've been trending well, but it was so disappointing the way the season ended. And now Kyler Murray's sort of distanced himself, at least in the social media realm, from the Cardinals, raising questions, what gives there? Is he happy there? And what's the fate of Cliff Kingsbury, too?
I think it's interesting because you look at the timing of when he removed all of this. It was the day after the Pro Bowl. So the only pictures left on his Instagram are him in an OU jersey, and then him at the Pro Bowl with CeeDee Lamb.
Another Sooner player, sure.
Exactly. Yeah. And Cliff Kingsbury has 1 year left on his contract. Kyler Murray is in the final year of his rookie contract, and I guess Cardinals have until like May 2nd to pick up his fifth-year option. He's scheduled to make $965,000.
Oh.
And I think, basically, there's two words that are prompting Kyler Murray to do what he's just done.
Yeah.
Josh Allen.
Oh, absolutely.
He wants that kind of money. He saw what Josh Allen got paid, and I think he's, being paid under $1 million for 2022. He's not about it.
That's crazy. But, we were just talking about Wade and brought up the difference between then and now. And, now more mercenary. You got more guys with the free agency moving around, bigger money.
Yep.
I mean, this looks like Wade said, you get the talent and you bring it in. I mean, the talent's there, but, this is one of those things that really can make it hard for a team. You've got to deal with things that aren't football. But, I'm guessing GMs and those guys have all gotten used to it by now.
And I bet, Bob, in your playing days, you never thought that you removing pictures from what would have been social media at that time, who even knows what that was? I don't even remember.
Well, Bob had other kinds of pictures out there that needed to be removed from the public domain.
I begged people, and it only cost me $960,000. And I took all my pictures off the fridge.
But Kyler Murray's agent was asked a couple days ago, what do you make of this? And his comment was, no comment. So they're ready for, they are posturing for a fight. And, my concern, and I would love to hear from you, too, because you know so much more than me. What do you do if you're the GM of Arizona? Do you pay him the big money now? Because you look, for example, at this season. David, you noted how they have been ascending since Kyler Murray came. They went 7-0, started the season 7-0, looked unstoppable. 4-7 down the stretch, not even that, but the ugliest 34-11 loss to the L.A. Rams that was in the wild card round. That was just awful. That was really bad. And, yes, there are injuries, but every single team, Bob, deals with injuries. And it's like, what do you do about it? So I would love to know, you two in the GM seat, what do you do with Kyler? And does his size concern you at all? Because, Bob, NFL defenses are big, fast, and smart.
Yeah, but we were saying this the other day about Baker being 5'11" or
Baker
whatever.
Baker Mayfield, right.
And everybody in Cleveland talks about how he's too small and he can't see. But if you've played college ball and you've played behind offensive linemen who are essentially the same size as pro linemen, you've played against a defensive front that's essentially the same size as an NFL defensive front. And so you've adjusted yourself. You've figured out what you have to do. Roll out a little bit, move a little bit to get more better vision. And, when we talked with Baker, the guy won a Heisman. So he must have known what he was doing. But same thing here. At 5'10", you look and you say, this isn't right. But obviously he's got more talent than just standing in a pocket.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah.
So do you pay him? You're Steve Keim in Arizona. What do? You pay him now?
I pay him. I think right now at $960,000, which is very hard to say. Because I think I made that my entire career.
Wow.
And that's just
his rookie
deal.
Don't tell the IRS. Yeah.
Right. That's only his rookie deal. Wait till he really signs the big deal. Right?
But he does have a $4.5 million roster bonus if he, in day five, is on the roster. So he's going to end up with about $5.5 million in 2022, which sounds amazing. I mean, it's a rookie deal. Yeah. But when you see a Josh Allen and a Deshaun Watson and a Patrick Mahomes getting that kind of money, you know.
I mean, I think you got to make the commitment. And I think he's... As Dave was saying that, you know, his performance has gone up, the wins have gone up, and ultimately it's about winning. It's not about personalities. It's not about that. And those guys, in a sense, that it's that brings you the wins. But right now you saw 11 wins last year, and you know that's a positive. Now you can break it down and say, you know, how much of that was him. Or how much did he participate in? But I think right now their option is, you know, is
they don't have another
give them
option.
The money. No, that's it. I think there's only one they can do.
Well, they're surely going to have to, in May, they'll exercise his fifth-year rookie option. I mean, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah. Right. It is a no-brainer. That's
and right. Then the question is, yeah, what does the negotiation look like for the long-term deal that he's going to want? But they've got a good thing going in Arizona. I know it was a disappointing ending, but Cliff Kingsbury, Kyler Murray, the pieces around there, DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, look at that team down the stretch.
J.J. Watt now. When
yes. Some of the troubles were DeAndre Hopkins was injured, and they had offensive linemen injured, and that certainly derailed a lot of their momentum. I don't think it's time to pull the plug and try to rebuild. I mean, if you really say, well, no, we're not going to sign Kyler Murray, we're not going to make that commitment, then you're really restarting things in Arizona. And this is the best trajectory they've been on since Kurt Warner was quarterback there.
Well, what do you think of the way he's doing it? Especially you, Bob, you're old school. Do you like this? We're just going to be cryptic and, I mean, cryptic, it's pretty obvious. Remove everything from social media. Yeah. How about sitting down with Steve Keim and Cliff Kingsbury and the owner and talking about it? I mean, what about that?
Is that
old school?
No, I mean, that's what you do in business, and that's what this is now. It's a business.
Amen.
But, I mean, I guess everybody has to adjust to the social media aspect. I mean, I've got this vision of there being one key on his keyboard that activates everything. And when he gets the money, he pushes it, and everything pops back up again.
But, visual.
There's definitely better ways to do it. But players, especially players that can make a difference for your team, they get a little bit more leeway, and then the bosses will say, okay, if this is what we got to do, this is what we got to do.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so we're going to run out of time here on Radio Row, and I want to get to what's happening. I want to shift gears and go to the NBA trade.
Ooh,
yesterday,
man.
The big deal went down. We talked about it briefly yesterday. There's more details around it now. But, of course, James Harden traded from the Nets to the 76ers, and Ben Simmons going to the Nets, along with some other good players. This is a trade that has really divided the world. I've heard lots of strong arguments on both sides about who won this deal. Give us your opinion.
Well, you know, I think something that is not talked about at all, I look at what Daryl Morey was asking for in this trade. He wanted it. He wants Harden back. He wanted first-round picks. Not only did he not get first-round picks, he gave up first-round picks. So to me, Daryl Morey better hope that the beard experiment works out, because I think this could go down as possibly the worst move in his career. When you are asking for first rounds, you don't get it, and you gave up first rounds. But as far as the talent on both sides of the ball, it's really going to depend on how James Harden performs, to be perfectly honest. Because I think has happened with the Nets is they haven't become better. They've become more balanced. They've got Kyrie and KD with that offensive firepower. They cannot count on any offensive firepower with Ben Simmons, but he brings length, he brings defense, he brings that. So I think they became more balanced. And while it seemingly looks like they didn't give up as much as the 76ers, what they gave up was 13 months ago when they traded Jarrett Allen and Caris LeVert and three first-round picks and four first-round to get James Harden.
Yeah.
So they are still dealing with that fallout. So there was a lot to give up, not yesterday, but James landed, it lasted 13 months with Brooklyn. So it's tricky.
I like this Brooklyn roster with Ben Simmons as a distributor, and getting the ball to Kyrie. Yeah. They really didn't need another shooter like James Harden. I mean, look at that.
They don't.
Kyrie likes to shoot the ball. Durant's a prolific scorer. And then to say, well, we're going to have James Harden do what he does. And look, he loved iso ball with the Rockets. So that was always
He loves iso ball anywhere.
Anyway, that was a tough mix of players. Now Simmons, I think, does make them more of a rounded-out team. And Curry is, of course, a great shooter. He could step out to the three-point line, spot up there, and then opens up the court really, really well for that team.
And it all comes down to how they play together. I mean, as you were bringing it up, you know, we had LeBron back in the Cavalier days, and pretty much everybody stood back and said, shoot it.
Right. You saw it firsthand, front and center.
Yeah, so now when you got guys with different talents and different desires, you've got to, I mean, I don't think you can make a deal without keeping that in mind.
That was very true.
Yeah.
It's very true. And you know what's interesting? You bring up a good point with Seth Curry. While I'm saying, wow, if this backfires on Daryl Morey, he just gave up a great shooter. And Seth doesn't get the credit that he deserves. Just roll the tape back to the playoffs last June. He was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. He is not Steph Curry. No one in this league since it began is Steph Curry. But don't undermine Seth. He is amazing, and he is a great shooter. And really, the 76ers could use another shooter. And now they don't
We look at it for this season, if Ben Simmons returns to any kind of form, I do like the Nets over the Sixers as the team in the East. That funny thing, I think we were alluding to, Charles Barkley was joking. The question was, is James Harden going to be healthy when he gets to the 76ers? And the joke is, well, yeah, now he's healthy because he's finally with
happy.
The team.
Yeah, he got his trade.
He got his way, so he's going to be completely healthy. And that duo of Harden and Embiid is a pretty impressive duo. It will be fun to watch this unfold because those two teams are destined to meet in the playoffs. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what's neat about that is that, you know, you look at Embiid's durability. Because Harden doesn't have great durability. Listen to this. This is crazy. In the last three seasons, Embiid has played in 159 regular and playoff games. 159. KD and Kyrie combined, 178.
Telling.
Well,
so
I
think the 76ers are in a win-now mode. They've got James Harden, who's aging, going to be free agent at the end of the season. This is Daryl Morey going all in.
Daryl Morey is rolling the dice.
Wow.
All right, when we come back, we will
continue
our great day on Radio Row. You're listening to the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is The Boss.
In the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network. Presented by Progressive Insurance and by Freeall Deep Penetrating Oil. Live from Radio Row in L.A., here's David Gal.
And Carla Dawson.
Well, it's been a great 3 days here on Radio Row. And with just a couple minutes remaining, I do want to be sure we go around the horn and get our predictions for the big game. I'll turn to you first.
Bob gets the first.
Bob is a man of the trenches.
I'm a man of the trenches.
In the arena.
Don't tell anybody in Ohio, but I'm going with the Rams.
Well, and you believe because in this defensive line.
I think the defensive line is dominant.
It has the ability to really take over the game.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, and you saw Bardo. I mean, he was an old offensive lineman. There's no way those guys can hold up against us.
You tell him like it is. You tell him, Bob.
Understood.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have a special guest that's got an extra special pick.
All right, we need your pick. You got Rams or Bengals?
I don't think my pick is that special. I'm going to have to agree and say the Rams.
That's okay. Sarah Gow going for the Rams. Big win. You just want to follow Golic's lead.
I just will do whatever he says.
Yeah, Bob Golic.
I'm an influencer.
Don't take that too far.
I've been influenced by Bob.
Don't be overly influenced by Bob Golic. I mean, he makes it look glamorous. He makes it look all good.
No, I have boundaries.
But
there
are limits to what he's got here.
Exactly.
There.
I mean, I thought those things, I thought the courts took those off.
No, they're out there.
They're still there.
All right, Carla.
Okay, I don't even have to say it, but since we don't have a visual, it comes in the outfit review.
Yes. She promised, to those who missed it yesterday, she promised she would come in wearing an outfit that revealed her team pick. And then, well, Bob Golic said he was going to come in tiger-striped underwear.
Yeah.
That's true, Bob.
Represent the Bengals. But you're wearing sort of a tiger-striped shirt.
So, what do y'all think my pick is?
Got to go Bengals.
Got to go Bengals.
Yeah.
All right. Well, diversity.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I'm an underdog myself, so I'm going for that.
Okay. And then we can make fun of you later.
Yes, you can.
Good.
Okay. Way, way back, there was this
have you made your pick?
Young, precocious quarterback named Tom Brady, and he was facing the L.A. Rams, and the L.A. Rams were heavily favored. And somehow Tom Cool and the Patriots were able to upset the Rams. I see the parallel this year. I think Joe Cool is going to be just perfect in this game. He's going to overcome the Rams' rush, and he, too, will be the next generation Tom Brady, and they're going to defeat the Rams, and it will be Bengals with a score of about 24-17.
Can we add a little bet to this? If the Bengals win, next year at Radio Row, Bob, when you come join us again,
okay.
Yes.
You've got to streak from door to door in your Tiger underwear.
Oh!
If the Rams
win, makes it interesting.
That makes it really interesting.
I don't really... Well, I understand what streak means, but I don't run that fast anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be more like a saunter. I'm going to saunter from door to door in my Tiger Stripe underwear.
Well, all I can say is, so for those of you who know, it's the boss in the gloss. It's David and Carla. Normally, we've had Bob Golic with us for the last 3 days, and it's been so much fun to have you here.
I'm great. You guys have been great. Absolutely great.
My dancing partner.
What fun we've had. Thank you so much for joining us, Bob. And
thanks for
having
me.
Thank you all the listeners. You've been listening to The Boss and the Gloss on the Sports Map Radio Network.